am on your side. I'm on your side.
Sono le parole con cui Kunstverein si è presentato a Milano. I'm on your side. È anche il titolo dell'intervento di Eman Chong, l'artista di Singapore, il cui lavoro apre il progetto di Kunstverein in Italia. Insieme abbiamo parlato del suo intervento milanese, che si compone di tre parti. I'm on your side, un'affermazione ambigua, una frase che costringe a una riflessione di autocritica sul sistema del consenso contemporaneo. A short story about geometry, una performance che stabilisce relazioni uno a uno nella trasmissione orale di una storia da memorizzare. E The Forer Effect, una tela con cui l'artista interroga i meccanismi di convincimento e autosuggestione.
I think a lot of my work is constructed around the idea of like talking to people, not in a way that it comes out as a conversation, but a lot of it is influenced by the fact that there's a lot of discussion involved in the actual construction of the work. So in this very specific project that I'm doing with Kunstverein Milan, I think we focused a lot on the idea of the invitation, like how they invited me to do a project and how the project that we've finally created is a lot about the idea of inviting as well. For example, the pivotal piece within the whole situation right now is a piece called A Short Story About Geometry, where we would invite people to enter into a contract involving a short story of 500 words, where this participant would essentially agree to come into contact with this short story via memorizing it word for word. So it's a very tedious process that involves hours and hours of repetition between a teacher and the students. So in that sense, we felt that it's a very appropriate project to start Kunstverein Milan off with, because it's also a very generous situation. The viewer now becomes a participant in the project. He or she literally would be given the work. Of course, it's not free, because you know nothing in life is free. It involves an exchange of time and of energy between the two people in the actual construction of this process, and at the end of it, walks away with the work. So I kind of like this idea that people could become vessels for my work. They literally have the work inside them rather than just looking at the work. So it's a very specific result of a conversation between me and the audience in that sense. I'm also creating like a panel, like, well, it's essentially a painting, and it's an appropriation of a piece of text by a psychologist called Bertrand Fourier, and he in turn appropriated this text from writings of horoscopes. So it was a test that he gave out to his students, that he lied to them, that he created individual psychology tests for each of them, but in actual fact it's all the same test, you know. When the students got the results, they all thought that they got a different result from each other, but it's actually all the same results. So the text, it's for me a way of, you know, appropriating a very generic, positive, almost positive kind of engagement with the audience, in a sense that within human relationships, we always start in a very sort of banal, generic sort of manner. On your side. I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I'm on your side. From this very banal situation, we'll actually move on to something much more cryptic, which is a sound piece called I'm On Your Side, which is also the title of the project.
On Your Side.
And I'm On Your Side was the first thing that we talked about, in which this sentence or this statement could somehow function on this positive self-help kind of mode, in which, you know, it seems like a situation where how we view art is always something that, oh, it should, you know, contribute to humanism or contribute to a kind of positive influence on society. But actually, there's so much other possibilities of how art could play a role in society. Sometimes has also the power to destroy society, the fabrics of society. So I'm On Your Side is kind of like, for me, a statement that poses to be a promise, like, you know, that art is on your side. But in actual fact, because of the way that it's somehow repeated over and over again, it becomes meaningless and, you know, like, becomes absurd, really, as a form in itself. A lot of times, a lot of people have described my work as confusing because I, in many instances, don't exclusively want to privilege certain forms of transmission. And I don't particularly believe in specific ideologies. I feel very strongly that we should take on many different ideologies, many different methods of living life. You know, the whole idea of the 20th century has really surrounded the fact of pedagogy and how pedagogy could save society somehow. If you're the more educated you are, the better a person you are. And I think we've come to a point to understand that that is not true. For example, the most educated people in the world have just fucked up the economy system. So in that sense, I don't want to privilege any level of culture or of transmission in a way that would say that one is more banal or one is more powerful than the other. And, you know, also as human beings, we are capable of understanding things on many different levels. We can somehow sometimes find criticality in the most banal, ridiculous bullshit. And at the same time, we can also find, you know, bullshit in the most deep writings. What I'm trying to say is that I strongly believe that there are a lot of imperfections in life, and that these imperfections actually are constantly played out in how we see the world. And the point is not to, for me personally, is not to erase these imperfections, but to see where they could lead us. This is, for me, not an arrogant position, because I'm not trying to say, oh, I want to stick with what I know and I don't want to learn anything else. No, I think what I'm trying to say is that we should look at these imperfections as just part of, you know, the whole ecology of our sensibilities as people. And as well, I don't want to privilege art, especially contemporary art, as a method in constructing meaning, because I think a lot of other things, other fields also have this possibility. But at the same time, because I'm an artist and this is what I do, it's a tool I use to construct meaning. So there's all this, yeah, very sort of subtle contradictions, a lot of my practice, simply because I'm constantly looking and re-looking at the different processes I'm going through. And I think it's important not to like place too much trust in yourself, to really let go of yourself. And in a way that one should learn to listen to everything and just to make up your mind afterwards and not immediately canonize a certain way of thinking about society or life in general. For example, the piece that I'm showing, creating a short story about geometry. When I first created it, it was for me to move away from a kind of useless talk at the opening that somehow moves into a situation where you're actually talking, but you're also involving yourself in a specific stream of production. So you're producing meaning as you are memorizing the story. You're producing emotion because you get angry, you get tired, and you get frustrated with the fact that you have to do this, and you know, and everyone around you is like talking with like the wine glass about like shoes, and you have to do this ridiculous ritual in such a social situation. And I think it's interesting to create this platform divorcing yourself from that situation with the help of an artwork. I don't think memory is something that is important in this work. Like, for example, if someone walks away after memorizing it and not remember it, like, I don't care. I think what's really important is that they have gone through that process of memorizing, and there was a kind of a relationship between the two people. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm one of those artists who don't make works about a space. Like, I don't like to do set specific projects. What I like to do is I like to work with the space, but it's not about it. I think with most contemporary artists today, we are influenced by the legacy of conceptual art, you know, from the 60s, especially practitioners like Lawrence Weiner, John Baldessari. And I think these are very important references because it was really somehow the genesis of this way of thinking of how their work could formulate a kind of relation to the viewer. I don't think it's like original, like to make I'm On Your Side into an audio piece, for example, a sound artwork, because Bruce Nauman has done it like 50,000 times. And John Baldessari, of course, you know, in his video, he's done this video when he says, I'm making art, I'm making art, I'm making art. And, you know, in a sense, he is making art by saying, I'm making art. So I think it, I'm just using the tools of conceptualism to somehow create this side format of such a piece.
I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I'm on your side.
Personally, I believe that everything is political. Every gesture that you make, every object that you consume. So I think that the statement is political, but it's not locked into one interpretation. And I think the piece is devised for Kunstverein Milan to think about and to write about its contradictions. I think I'm interested in creating relations more than space. Finally, space could be created very easily through capital, but relations you can't buy. I lead a very fractured life as an artist. I don't believe in singularities within my work. So I'm always, you know, shooting off in different tangents. Hence, you know, people saying, oh, why is your work so confusing? And in a way, the method is very similar with the rest of my pieces. Again, it has to do with the conversational, in that a lot of it is constructed from multiple inputs from different people, and how I would allow myself to be influenced by these inputs.
Questa intervista è realizzata da Radio Papesse, un progetto di Carola Haupt e Ilaria Gadens. Se vuoi aiutarci a mantenere libere e gratuite le produzioni di Radio Papesse, vai su www.radiopapesse.org/sostieni. Basta davvero poco.
They can't go to another person to say the story, because that's not the game. It's not a game of Chinese whispers. It's like saying, I'm going to kick a basketball. You know, so the rules of the game is that they would learn the story, and then that's it. They're not supposed to transmit it themselves to someone else.